Welcome back to another episode of Books Closed, the podcast. This episode is sponsored by Lucky Supply and River Valley Printing Co. So this is our second week in this podcast. I feel like I didn't do a great job last time of having any sort of structure or explanation. So just to backtrack a little bit, we're going to be focusing on the impact of social media and the internet on tattooing. Each week, I hope to have a different tattooer here that we can discuss that in their personal and more general experiences. And this week, that person is Todd Noble.
That's me.
Thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. I got this guy to drive all the way up to the woods of Maine, and he found my place, and look at us now. We're podcasters.
Podcasting.
So, where do you tattoo?
I mainly tattoo out of Redemption Tattoo in Cambridge, Mass. I also own my own shop down in Fenwick Island, Delaware. You've probably never heard of that place, but it's right in the mid-Atlantic, kind of jutted between D.C., Philly, Virginia Beach, Triangle.
Sounds like a pretty good place.
It's a nice place, yeah.
When did you start tattooing?
My first tattoo, I think I did 94, 95-ish, but I can't, you know, it was like Kitchen Wizard in Seattle. But like first shop tats were definitely like fall of 95. And then like professional getting paid tattoos on a regular was like 96, 97.
So in 96, how many Instagram followers did you have?
I had negative zero.
Okay. Just check-ins.
Lots of no followers.
Did you do the MySpace thing?
I did the MySpace. I think there was before MySpace, there was Friendster.
Mm-hmm. I was never on that, were you?
Yeah, I was on that. Henry Lewis turned me on to it, and I got on there, and it didn't catch on. It didn't catch on like Vero did.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right,
Vero's like fire right now.
Yeah.
Everybody left Vero, but I'm still on there just cranking, killing it.
I know. I had to get an external battery charger because my phone was dying with all the notifications I was getting from Vero.
Dude, I was getting notifications of notifications.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So, yes, I was on MySpace, and MySpace was, you know, it was like the man on the moon as far as like social media, I think. You know, it was like, this is the first shit. And it killed it as far as I'm concerned.
Did you get a lot of business from that?
I got a lot of business from that. I mean, a lot. Like that kind of, besides from my sketchbook selling, like Wendy Belzel would sell my sketchbooks like door to door to tattoo shops.
I know. I bought one like that one time.
Right. It's amazing.
Upstate New York in a little nothing town. She walked in on a Sunday night and I said, oh, I've heard of that guy. I want to get that book.
Right. Yeah. Like that, like her business model's amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because like you attack people in their home court, they've got money in their pocket.
Yeah, it's perfect.
You got pretty things to buy. Boom. You bought it. So like I think that she kind of helped my reputation as an artist, you know, via the way she did, you know, her marketing. Sorry. Should I go a little down? Oh, it's loose. It's loose.
Oh, God. I'm
nah,
fucking it all
up. It
up. Shit.
Can we get a tech in here?
Oh my God, no.
There we go.
No.
as far as I'm concerned, like, I got a lot of business from that, and I'd never had a problem with it. Then all of a sudden, you know, this guy, Zuckerberg, says, hey, I got a new taste to your piece of pie. Try it, you know, and everybody's like, you know, and just jumped on it. And I've been.
I don't think it was that fast, though, for Facebook, because I remember.
It definitely wasn't.
I was in college when it came out, and at first it was only available to students. It was just a college thing.
Right.
And until your college had its own database or, you know, whatever it was for that, then you couldn't get it. So I remember when my college got it, and everyone was like, oh, shit.
Well, because it was originally relegated for, like, rating chicks.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I. That's like the.
Well, it was kind of like a catalog of people that were all within 2 mile radius right. from you.
So like a Tinder, but not Tinder.
Right. Kinda. It wasn't as blatantly about hooking up or even at all. I mean, I certainly didn't get any action from that ever or from anything else at the time.
Yeah, me neither. Ever.
But yeah, when it caught on, it definitely overpowered. And I remember when you just had to come to the realization that you no longer needed to post on MySpace.
Yeah, it was a real tipping point, you know, like, you know, there was like that trickle, and then all of a sudden it was just like, thump.
Yeah.
Then I was just like, fuck, nobody's on here anymore.
Yeah.
Except musicians.
Right.
Why would musicians be on there?
Right.
For otherwise, like, bandwidth and uploading music and stuff like that. But
I think they did a good job of setting up the music stuff on MySpace. The way that they had the player and everything was pretty perfect, I think, for a band. And
but did that still even go? Did it go? Or?
I don't know. Yeah. I feel like they've been trying to hang on to the music thing still.
Right.
If you go there, it's all about music and video. And it's like a ghost town.
Well, and I think the mass exodus as far as tattooers, I mean, everybody jumped ship, not just tattooers, but, you know, tattooers, I don't know. I don't want to speak out of, you know,
do it
term or whatever, but, you know, we're all fucking pirates and we're all like, how we get that money? How are we going to get that money? Like, so we're like, oh, we can get money. Oh, we can do that. Let's go there and get the money from that.
Yep.
And we all jumped ship and went over to there. You know what I mean? Because it's all about self-marketing and just kind of advertising on your own terms, you know. And, you know, as a tattooer from pre-internet days, dude, I can't tell you how many tens of thousands of dollars I've spent on fucking phone book advertising.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
It's insane,
yeah,
man.
That's a
like,
foreign concept.
And I don't notice it now. I'm like, well, the money's not in my pocket. It just went somewhere else. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I'm sure Jason with two shops, I'm sure he spent shit tons of money. I had two shops at once, and I was just like, they would always hit me up in like April when I didn't have any money. And they're like, oh yeah, just sign it up. And, you know, it was like $5,000 for this shop and $3,000 for this other shop.
Yeah.
You know, for a quarter page ad. And you're just like, God.
When tattooing was illegal in Massachusetts, George and Hobo, who are the two original guys from Hobo's Tattoo Shop in Portsmouth, they had an ad in Boston with a Boston phone number that said that Portsmouth was like 20 minutes from Boston, which it's not.
It's not.
It's at least an hour or so.
Not by plane.
Right.
Just didn't tell you the mode of transportation.
Right, exactly. So people would be driving there. They'd be 45 minutes into the drive, and then they'd probably be pulling over to a payphone because they certainly weren't calling on a cell phone at that time.
Exactly.
And they'd say, where are you guys? And you'd say, oh, you're almost there. And then at that point, you'd be close enough that you're not going to turn around.
Yeah.
The ultimate scam.
And the other, but it also, the other only legal place was Rhode Island, which is almost the same distance.
Yeah.
You know, 45 minutes to an hour.
Yep.
You know, with traffic.
So. Exactly.
No, that's brilliant.
Yeah. I always like that story. So yeah, I mean, as far as Facebook goes, I always thought that it wasn't the best to show tattooing. It was kind of, I mean, MySpace was maybe still a better venue for it, except that nobody was there anymore.
Right. Yeah, Facebook, I think the interface and how it was navigated just didn't lend itself to a visual platform like what we have.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of people did thrive on there, though, especially like in Europe, because right around then I was going to Europe a lot and working, and a buddy of mine, Ludo, runs a shop in Belgium. And he would book everything through Facebook. I mean, everything. Like, he would post about it. And, you know, guest artist is coming. I'd be booked in, like, 2 weeks, you know. For like, 2 weeks. Like, three, four a day. Yep. Just crazy busy, you know. So I was like, fuck, how is his working so good? And I'm not getting that kind of return back in the States. And I think maybe Europe just, you know, I don't know why they would grasp onto it better.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the strength of your network on Facebook.
Yeah.
Whereas MySpace, the searchability and everything, I think was a little bit easier, maybe. Or maybe people were just looking to find artists or celebrities or bands.
I feel like it was
or
easier to click. If I remember correctly, like, oh, there's Grimes' profile. Let me click on that. Boom. There's, you know, Guitarist's profile. Let me click on that.
You put them in
like,
your top eight because they were dope.
It was an easy tangent. Yeah, that's true. And it was an easy tangent, like, everything was linked or interlinked somehow, where Facebook's like, you know, you click on somebody's picture and it's like, oh, here's their mantra of the day.
Yeah.
Woe is me.
It's
FML.
More personal.
Yeah, it's more personal, but
it wasn't set up, I don't think, to be what MySpace was. And that was the point. Because to me, for the time it overlapped, you'd have MySpace for whatever, public stuff. At the time I was playing in bands, so I had it for bands I was in. And then for Facebook, it was my friends from school and not even family friends at that point, just my friends. And and if some random person added me on Facebook, I'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Get out of my life, because it felt weird.
Yeah.
Felt like someone coming over to your house and knocking on the door.
Right. Even though, like, I don't know about you, but I was never like, I would never do those dirty laundry posts where I'm like, oh man, that was a sucky day.
No.
I woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and then my needle was hooked, and then I just, you know, this dog pissed on my foot.
Sharing
too
much.
Yeah, you're like, shut the fuck up. Like, life sucks enough. Like, I don't need to read 10 sucky life stories before I even get the fuck off the toilet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, I was like, stop. Mm-hmm. That's why I never, like, was like, Facebook. Because to me, it was just like, just people bitching and complaining.
Yeah.
Like, there's enough of that in the world.
Yeah, and that's still all it is.
and
it's getting worse because now there's more ways to share your woes.
That's why I still don't go on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I remember when Instagram came in, you know, there were people that were like, I want to be able to do that. So they would just write shit out on, like, some app that writes fonts.
Right.
And they would screen shoot it and then post that. And you're like, fuck, I'm trying to get away from... I just want to look at cool pictures, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, and they were still like infiltrating me with their shitty lives.
Yep. Yeah. Know? Sometimes you can't avoid it. If someone wants their voice to be heard, it's all too easy to make sure that happens.
Well, and I think that's the big selling point. I mean, it's not a free app technically, but
yeah,
I think that's why people want to do that. Cause they have a voice. Now they have a platform,
Social media.
And they have 17 people listening. Or 27 people, or 27,000 people, you know what I mean. So they feel validated by that audience, even if it is virtual,
right?
You know, and
that's all you need.
And it's a shame because, you know, a lot of it falls on deaf ears, or it just creates this back and forth flame war. I don't know if you're familiar with flame wars, but that's what they used to call like internet arguing.
Yeah.
Back in Reed Street days.
Just flamed him.
Yeah, he's like, you're flame, bro.
Homie got flamed.
You know, and it's just this giant, like, proxy communication system we have now where, like, you know, it's not real, but it is real. Like, it's really strange, and it's such a mind fuck.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you go down the rabbit hole of, like, you know, clinical psychology and dopamine uptakes from, you know, like, getting your feedback from your pictures and... or not getting feedback from your pictures and your ego and your id and your self-esteem and like all this shit, like it's wrapped up into this crazy thing. And, you know,
it's like we're in a big experiment.
Yeah, it totally is. And I don't think people really get that.
No,
they don't get that at all. I'm like,
well, when you've grown up with it all along, you don't know any different.
You don't.
So imagine that.
You don't. And I think that's detrimental to a lot of the young guys out there is like, you don't, young guys, girls, sorry, I'm not trying to. But what was I saying? So, yeah, like, what did Instagram sell for? Like, what did Facebook buy? It was $15 billion?
Something like that.
Like,
which at this point is probably even low.
Right. You think, you know, like, why would something like that sell for that high? Because it doesn't sell anything.
Well, it sells advertisements.
It sells advertisements now, but when it sold, it didn't.
What is the potential?
It had the potential.
I think it's all about the user base. How many users, how many active users. I think those are the stats that they're analyzing.
And like the capturing of information, the capturing of...
Well, that's the scary
stuff.
What
this person likes, what this person doesn't like because he didn't click on it, or what he saved in his saved file. You know, like all these like micro little tech things now are like, they're collecting information on us, and I'm not wearing a tin hat. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think it's,
you don't even have to anymore.
I think it's super real. You know what I mean? And
yep.
That's why that sold for that much, because of the potential of capturing so much human data and human information.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? From millions and millions and millions of users.
Yeah. It's, well, I saw a thing today. I'm not sure if it's an app or I don't know what it was, but Facebook has some sort of technology where they're able to track what other apps people are using. So they're able to anticipate that, you know, the same way that they've taken on a lot of Snapchat's qualities or any of the other competitors.
Yeah.
So they can see what is more popular, and then they will either try to buy it out or make their own version of it.
Right.
So they're always evolving and they're always staying on top, and that's how they've stayed to be the titan that they are.
Right. Yeah. Because
it's like, no, you know, take no prisoner kind of thing. They're just crushing all the competition.
Right. You know, and it's like Amazon.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true, because I use OpenTable to get reservations sometimes
yeah.
when I'm out of town. And it says, you want to sign in through Facebook. So Facebook has this like tertiary attachment to certain things as like a login security system.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're just pulling that info.
Yep.
They're pulling this info.
Yep. So yeah, you're where totally you right. are.
That's exactly what they're
your
doing.
Your eating habits.
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's not just your internet yeah. usage anymore.
Exactly. Like if you're using like Uber Eats or Postmates, you know, like, oh, they ordered this.
Hey. They know how much pizza you're eating.
Right, exactly.
I don't want anybody to know that.
I know, especially my wife.
So with all that said, we can take our tin hats off now.
I'm keeping mine on.
Yeah, that's fine. So with all that said, though, how would you say that, like Instagram, how does that rule you? Or does it?
It used to. And if you ask my wife, she still thinks I spend a lot of time on there. And I do, to a degree, just to...
I'd say you're a person who I see keeps up very well on Instagram and posts a lot of stuff. And you've always got a bunch of stuff on your story and new posts and new yeah. work and old work. And it's good because I see your stuff every single day.
Right. And you know, part of me thinks it's a tool. I was just thinking about it on the drive up here. Like, not just Instagram is a tool, but this is our tool. As a human being now, like this is our fucking Swiss Army knife.
Yeah.
So you think of a caveman back in the day, like if he woke up and he went like this and his spear was gone, he had that immediate dread feeling like, fuck.
Yeah. What am I
like
gonna
when
do?
We wake up and we don't have our phone or our battery dies and we're like somewhere not comfortable enough to be like, how do I get home? Or,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? So it's, to me, like it's a massive tool, and Instagram is a tool to get business. You know, I did tattooing before cell phones, before Instagram, before the internet, and I still made a living. You know what I mean? But I think now you have the potential with this. It's almost a weapon. It's almost like you're trolling because you have, you know, you've got your email, you've got your direct messages, you've got, you know, people that hit you up on Facebook. It's a little bit of an overload as far as how many different ways people can contact you,
mm-hmm.
and you have to like funnel them and be like, just email me to this one. You know what I mean? But a lot of people are like, DM me, email me.
I hate that. I can't keep up.
Exactly. But you know, you have to relegate a certain amount of time if you want to. You don't have to participate. That's the thing about it is,
yeah.
you know, it's like, it's a free app, man. Like, and I see a lot of people complaining, like, fuck, this new algorithm is like, bleh. I'm like, it's fucking free, dude.
Yeah.
Like, make your own that doesn't have a sucky algorithm and mm-hmm. then complain when it shuts down because nobody's using it.
Right.
You know, like, you cannot complain about a free fucking app. It's just ridiculous. You know?
Well, we can complain about it, but it's in your best interest to just figure out and roll with it.
Exactly.
That's all we
figure
can do.
Figure it out as best you can. And I swear to God, it's really hard to figure out because somebody was telling me the other day, it has, similar to facial recognition on your phone, Instagram has like image recognition. So like if I double click on a picture of, you know, a fucking Bert Grimm design, you know, it's flat, the image, it renders that through its fucking scanner somehow. And it throws up similar images in your Explorer feed.
Yeah.
So it's like feeding you content that it thinks you want from your past likes, which is yeah. fucking insane. Because like, I just want to be I don't want to see a bunch of different stuff. Like,
yeah.
I don't see the same shit. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? So I don't know ever thought that up. It was kind of crazy. But
well, their idea is that if they give you more stuff that they know you like, then it's going to keep you on
keep
the
you
app
on
longer.
Right.
Which is like the sick goal of Facebook and these companies.
Sick.
They just want you to use it as long as possible, no matter
yeah.
what.
Just be like,
if that means, yeah, if they could have a glue be emitted from your phone that keeps it in your hand and up to your face, they would probably do it until
right.
we're all just
eye
like
glue.
Stiff corpses walking around looking at our feeds
yeah.
so much.
But I also heard there's guys like tattooers now that have like gotten onto that bandwagon and they've totally like converted their style over to said recognition.
Yeah.
They're like, I'm going to post it this way so it's easy to scan so people will see my stuff further and further in the feed.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, that's super smart. But also, like,
also
you're
shitty.
It's also shitty and shitty because you're pandering to what people might like. You're no longer like expressing yourself as an artist or like, I'm going to try this new thing. And if it doesn't work, you know, like I post about probably about 70% of the work that I do. There's some that I don't post because I don't want like to be known for that kind of stuff, but I'll do anything that walks through the door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, I want to tattoo a certain aesthetic. So that's what I'm going to post. And that's the other thing about Instagram is like, it's like a museum. You know what I mean? It's like, you can put in exactly what you want, how you want it. And it's that's, you know, it's curated, so to speak. You know what I mean? Where that's not real life. You know what I mean? Oh, you got to do that shitty walk-in that's an upside down fucking triangle with three grandparents' names with 40 dates. And you know what I mean? Like, you're going to do that stuff regardless because you're a tattooer and that's what you're supposed to do. But are you going to post that? Not necessarily. You know what I mean? So
I feel like a lot of times the stuff I'm most proud of gets the least response online.
Right, exactly. That's, yeah, you brought it back to where I was thinking. It's like, I'll post stuff and I'll be like, fuck yeah, this is sick as shit. And I get like 200 likes.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, what?
Yeah.
All right.
Especially with like black and gray because it's not as striking in a small little square.
Right. Yeah. You know? And I'm like, did the camera go off or something?
Yeah, I think we're overheating. Hold on, let's take a break real quick. Okay, we're back. We had a little camera issue, but it's all good. We're pros back. Here. We're pro podcasters.
Pro.
Look at us podcast.
Procast. Procast. Procasting. Procrastinators.
So we continued the show while we weren't recording, so we're just going to ease into a different topic now, and let's talk about iPads.
iPads.
What were you just telling me about?
A lot of tattooers use iPads. I use an iPad. I've been using an iPad at least for about, I guess when the little one came out, I don't know, what, 7 years ago, 8 years ago?
Yep.
I've been using it since then, purely for like a light table.
Yep, me too.
Scenario, you know what
I mean? QuickDraw was the app.
Right, QuickDraw. Now it's gone.
It's gone.
And there was another one.
I was going to make one.
Stencil something, and then now it's gone.
Yeah.
And now there's like another lock screen one. Yeah, exactly. But a lot of people, literally, that's all they use for all their drawing now, which, you know, is, I guess it's convenient. It's a little, to me, I can tell, and it looks kind of plastic. Looks not hand-drawn, even though it is drawn by your hand, obviously.
Do you mean as far as the finished tattoo goes or just the drawing itself?
The drawing itself.
Yeah.
And to a degree, I've noticed, you know, and this is my eye. This is not like, I'm not critiquing anybody, but like to me, it seems to lack something. And I'm not sure what, but it doesn't seem quite as finished as it could be. Or maybe it looks a little rushed, the finished tattoo on certain people.
Mm-hmm.
I shall not name. But, I was in San Francisco last week getting tattooed by Grime, and we were talking about it, and he draws almost everything on there on the iPad too. And I was like, man, I was like, you don't have a legacy anymore. You don't have a legacy of drawings. You know what I mean? Like, I have a box at home of fucking drawings. Like, your drawings are virtually somewhere in the cloud or on that piece of machinery. Like, if you break that and it's not recoverable, you don't have any history of your drawings. You don't have any drawings, period. You know what I mean? I have a box I can go, oh, there's that. You know, it's albeit like, you know, archaic and hard to organize. You know, if you've got them all in your...
A wad of tracing paper.
Yeah, exactly. But I like that wad of tracing paper because I hang that shit on my walls. And, you know, that brings me more customers. Like, they're taped in my station, they're like, oh, shit, you can get that kind of tattoo? And I was like, hell yeah, you can get that kind of tattoo.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%.
How are you going to get that if it's fucking locked up in your thing and you got a passcode and a face thing and, you know, oh, do you want to see more of my work? Here, it's right here.
You just have to tell them how good you are.
Right.
That's what I do.
And they'll believe you.
Hey, I'm really good.
They'll like, totally believe you.
All right.
I don't need to see it.
That's cool. Can I get it right now? And I'm like, yeah. I think it's easy to look at someone like Grime and that it's an interesting thought of him using an iPad for everything and not having physical drawings, because in his case, it's easy to see that his drawings are amazing. and that they are something that should be kept and something that should be looked through and,
right.
you know, and respected.
Sure.
I know personally, I can feel that maybe my drawings, I don't really care to keep them. I mean, maybe it depends the kind of tattooing you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. I think
a lot of walk-in stuff. You don't care if you have every drawing for a little
walk-in. Yeah, you can crank that stuff out on there because it is super easy and you can send it right to the fucking printer.
Yeah.
And it doesn't
and then
even
it's cataloged
happen.
When the next person wants the
right.
same thing
so,
anyway.
So, yeah, for efficiency purposes, that's a great.
That's my biggest thing I love about it.
But if you have a kid and like say you you have for some reason you become like a famous tattooer that you can sell your work later on in life after you die. Like you could leave that to your son or daughter and be like, I'm going to sell this fucking so-and-so. Look at Hardy. I mean, I bought Ed Hardy drawings for ridiculous amounts of money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's a potential legacy that you no longer have.
Well, maybe they would be worth even more now because there are less drawings. I've seen a lot of people selling drawings more.
That's true.
Timothy Hoyer.
Yeah.
Who else? Chris Kahn's doing it.
Right.
Selling.
Can we edit that
drawings?
Out and don't tell all the kids to start drawing on paper?
Don't draw paper. It's really, if you respect
so
trees.
So dumb.
Yeah. Well, I might as well just cash it all in now, I suppose.
Cash it in. Just do it.
Speaking of.
Cash? Cash only?
Speaking of cash only. Speaking. How should I phrase this?
Cash cow. Cash me outside. How about that?
Okay.
I'm surprised she's not a tattooer.
No,
she's a rapper
now. She's an amazing rapper.
She's an amazing rapper.
We're going to take an actual commercial break, but just to give you a teaser, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about the green circle. We're going to talk about tat powders.
We can't talk about the green circle.
We're going to be talking about ink and memories.
Get inked.
Okay. After these words, you don't want to miss it. This episode of Books Closed is sponsored by River Valley Printing Co., bringing high-quality Giclée prints, stickers, and pins to the tattoo community. Have you gone this long and you're actually embarrassed to admit you don't even know what Giclée means? Well, it was a word that was intentionally fancy-sounding to make the process of high-quality inkjet printing sound even a little more special and a little more exotic. River Valley Printing Co. can certainly vouch for that level of exoticism. So if you are gearing up for convention season or you've got some paintings stacked up that you want to make prints of and cash in, these are the guys to do it. Follow them on Instagram at River Valley Printing Co. or check them out at their website, www.rivervalleyprintingco.com. This episode is also sponsored by Lucky Supply, offering the highest quality products for every aspect of your tattooing. From shop supplies to disposable stuff, machines, furniture, and beyond. It's truly a one-stop shop for all the gear that you need day to day. One particularly useful item is the new Lucky Supply portable armrest. I can remember times that I've tried to wrestle almost portable armrests into suitcases or other bags, and it took up way too much of my limited luggage space. And sometimes I just left it home and made do without. Big regrets at times. The Lucky Supply portable armrest is an answer to anyone with that same problem. It's under 4 pounds, and it folds up flat, slides right into that suitcase. It might even fit into your back pocket, assuming you're wearing JNCOs. And I know somebody out there is still wearing their JNCOs, and I can assure you, you are not alone, as I am wearing mine right now. With that easy setup and breakdown, this sturdy little armrest will serve you well while working on the road. If you're on the market for a portable armrest, use coupon code ARM10 for 10% off. And you can take that $30 you save and go buy a bunch of other shit to fill up your suitcase with. That's coupon code ARM10, ARM10, to save 10% on the purchase of the Lucky Supply portable armrest at luckysupply.com. A huge thank you goes to those two sponsors. And if you listening would like to help support the show, it's very simple, really. There will be links in the show notes to everything you need to know about Lucky Supply and River Valley Printing Co. So when you do check them out, please let them know you heard about them on Books Closed. Capiche? I just wanted to add a quick editor's note here before we continue on to this next section, as I feel that I may have glossed over some context if you don't know what the situation was. A product called Everence came out at the end of 2017 with a group of well-respected tattoo artists as spokespeople for the brand. It allows tattoo customers to send in DNA samples from a loved one or an animal to be broken down into a powder that can be added to a tattoo ink and tattooed under your skin. The idea is that it gives you a more tangible connection and sentimental touch to your tattoo that you wouldn't have otherwise. So that was met with extreme criticism on social media from the tattoo community, and the artists that were involved with the company were roasted at the stake, you could say, for however long that lasted. And that reaction is what we are going to discuss right here.
Ala.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks for hanging with us.
Thanks,
through
guys.
That commercial. And as I teased before that break, let's get right into the topic of Everence.
Oh, do we have to?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want to know about it?
Well, let's talk about the backlash.
Mm,
we don't have to get too
backlash?
Far. Someone told me about it. They told
me. I think
me
it was virtual
you.
Backlash.
Definitely.
There was virtual hate.
Well, that's the only
virtual
hate that's out
mud
there.
Mud getting thrown.
Yep. Digital.
There was definitely some virtual, maybe not death threats, but there was some definitely virtual bad stuff being said.
So what?
Virtually.
What did you experience personally? Were people sending you direct messages and shitting on you, or how deep did it go?
I virtually had some DMs and some shitty comments. I had an actual phone call to my shop. One phone call. Asking me how did it feel to be a sellout, and I was like, "I'll let you know when the check clears. How about that?" You know.
Were they anonymous or did they identify themselves?
Yeah, they were definitely. I think his name was anonymous. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there was lots of trolls. You know, like, "Oh, I'm gonna set up a troll account because I would never say this to anyone in person."
Right, so. Which kind of devalidates the whole.
100%.
The whole sentiment of shitting on someone when right. you're too scared to even do it.
Well, because they're smart enough to realize that, like, oh, I could, you know, I probably don't even have my geotag thing turned off. So if I make a comment and I go on my, you know, that person's
you can
profile,
find, you
I'll
can
be like,
find
oh,
where their Maymay lives.
Yeah, you're like right here. So I can virtually find you on the internet and actually go see you and
make you suck your own digital dick.
Yeah.
In an alleyway.
Or, you know, everybody's got that one client that'll throw a brick through anybody's window
sure.
for you.
Yeah, so. I think we're all owed a kill by somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, honestly, it was like maybe a week's worth of, and it wasn't even a week. It was like when the shit popped off, I maybe had like, I tried to answer every like message that came through. What is it? What is it about? Why is it fucking this? Why is it that? Because there was so much speculation.
You were also very patient with people, and I understand the reason why. Everyone who was involved with the Everence launch, I could see them actually taking the time to try to answer to people. But I know that I wouldn't have had the same patience with the way a lot of people were approaching it.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely, you know, there were some comments that that didn't want to be answered. They just blah, blah.
Yeah, just blah, to get it blah. Off their chest.
So you're just like, all right, you're not willing to even have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I tried to have patience, and I'm not a very patient person, but, you know, it's like, if this guy took the time to write me and he's not being a total fucking dickbag, I'll write him back. You know what I mean? And I got a lot of DMs, you know, from guys that, you know, I know and that I don't know. And I just wanted to, you know, like, I respect everybody out there. Like, if you're fucking doing the damn thing, you're doing it right. Like, I'll answer your questions. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But if you come at me like slinging fucking this and slinging that, it's just like, man, just.
It was a weird response.
Save that shit.
I know personally when I first heard about the product, I probably had the same reaction as a lot of people. It seems kind of weird. It's because I think we were all expecting something else.
Sure. And I think that's the crux of the whole thing is like,
yeah.
there was such a vague amount of information that, you know,
in 3 days, everything will change. So we
right.
were like, oh shit,
yeah, was,
MySpace is coming back.
Right. Exactly. No, yeah, there was just a lack of content that was going to be distributed in that little amount of time to help people know what it was. And, you know, the way everybody is now in society, like, it's instant gratification. If I don't fucking know what it is right now, I'm fucking pissed.
Yeah.
You gotta tell me. It's like the kid, like, on Christmas Eve, he's like, I can't wait. I need a, you know, he's like shaking the fucking present stuff.
Shit was getting real.
Shit was getting real. And, you know, and there was a couple people that were like, I'm MacGyver. I'm gonna go online and scope out and just fucking pull this whole, like, mountain of fucking research that 90% of it was like, what? Like, connecting dots that aren't actually dots. And
yeah,
we were all kind of, a lot of us were sitting back too, and we're like, because we had our own, like, feed, just us artists. We're like,
yeah,
do you see this shit? Look at this shit. This shit's amazing. This is great.
I would love to see that group message.
And there was like, so, I mean, there's no such thing as bad press. You know what I mean? So, and I still feel that way, you know, so.
Because it was never for us. It was never for tattooers anyway.
Correct. You know what I mean? But.
And we forget that all these tattooers are not just broadcasting to the rest of us tattooers.
Right. Like, there's other people on Instagram.
There are actually people who don't tattoo in the world. I haven't met one in a while, but.
I know. You know, and that's the thing, too, is like, there's a. There's people in other arenas that are representing the company, the CrossFit world.
I feel like yoga people would maybe be interested.
I don't think
in
any
that.
Yoga people have done it yet, but the guys, the guy and the girl in CrossFit, I'd go on their feed, and when they posted it, I mean, they have like 400,000 or 500,000 followers.
Yeah.
And there wasn't a, like, out of like hundreds of comments, there was not a negative one. I was like, holy shit.
It's a whole different world. Yeah, tattooing's such a weird little bubble.
It's such a sad little bubble. You know, like, we tend to think, like, because we're in it all the time and we love it and we're, excuse me, doing it every day, like, this is life. But it's fucking so not life, man. Like, get the fuck out of your tattoo shop, get off your phone, and walk outside, and, like, nobody gives a shit about tattoos.
Right.
They're not, like, they're these little things, man, we draw on people. And, like, I love tattooing to death, don't get me wrong, but it doesn't make the world go around at all.
Right.
It doesn't.
Yeah, in the bigger sense, you know? it definitely doesn't.
It's a commodity at best now, which is sad. Mm-hmm. You know, there's still people that think it's an art form, and it is an art form for a lot of people, but the average person getting tattooed, it's like a commodity. If you look at what you're doing, if you're doing an infinity symbol that, you know, like, that you saw on Pinterest, that you could just look at how many people have pinned that image, and you know they've got that tattoo. So there's nothing that validates that particular thing to be an art. You know what I mean? It's a commodity.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, my fucking checkerboard Vans. That's all it is. Like, I want a pair of checkerboard Vans. I want an infinity symbol. You know what I mean? And I think a segment of tattooing has always been that way, because in the 70s, it was yin yang and a butterfly. In the 80s, it was like a skull with a fucking mohawk. In the 90s, it was a tribal armband.
Over your career, have you noticed a shift of that becoming more commonplace, people viewing it as a commodity?
Or yes,
is it always just a different version of it?
I think it's full-blown commodity now, because people, they're price shopping.
Yeah.
And they're price hunting. And, you know, with the internet being what it is, like, you can, I mean, at my shop at the beach, dude, like, people will call back. We have caller ID. They'll call and be like, oh, what's your minimum? Blah, blah, blah. And they'll call back a second later and be like, what's your minimum? Like, you just called us. Like, they think they're calling five different shops, but they just fuck up. And, you know what I mean? So to me right then, that screams, it's a commodity. You're looking for the lowest cost that you can get a fucking tattoo. You don't care what it looks like, what it's gonna look like.
Yeah.
But if it does look shitty, you're gonna definitely Yelp about it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the thing. So not only do you have to, like, you gotta hustle more than ever if you're like a street shop guy, but you also gotta be nice, and you gotta have fucking utmost customer service.
Yeah.
Because
that's the most important thing.
More people are likely to leave a negative comment on social media than they are, like, 95% more people. It was mind-boggling.
I believe that
the number. I was like, oh, like, if you have a good experience, you're happy and you're cool and you're satisfied. But if you're not,
you want your voice to be heard.
You want your
pissed.
Voice to be heard, and you're gonna tell an average of 5 to 10 people outside of the social media.
Yeah.
I read that this morning. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
So you've got to be like, yes, we do tattoos. And yes, we can do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't do that tattoo because it's technically impossible, you have to tell them that and make sure they really realize that.
Right.
And still somehow like coerce them into not being mad at you, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
When somebody's barely willing to spend $50 on a tattoo.
Yeah.
And they want it yesterday, you know?
Yeah. It's tough.
So that boils down to it being a commodity for me.
Yeah. No, I see that every day. I see it all the time.
Of course. Yeah.
The price shoppers in Portsmouth, we've got two shops on the same street. So we see it all the time. People coming back and forth and we can see it
right. Very
transparently.
Yeah.
You know, what we tell them and explain to them why maybe we can't do something or maybe why we won't do something. And then they just go down the street and they're like, yeah, a guy up there, he can't do it. So can anyone here do it?
He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do my tattoo.
Yeah. He didn't want me to be tatted.
Money. Don't get. No.
Right. Yeah, people think that we're trying to like not tattoo
trying
them.
Trying to be poor.
Yeah, all we want to do is tattoo them, and we want them to be happy and like their stuff. But some people make it hard.
Why are they coming with such unrealistic expectations of tattoos?
I mean, all you can do is just try to explain to your customers and just try to talk them into the best tattoo, which is what we've always done. And
right.
All you can hope is that people are going to be receptive to it. And I've definitely seen a change in customers since shows like Ink Master are teaching them vocabulary and things to look for, some for the better, some for the worse.
Yeah.
I've stood at the front desk of the half wall at the front of the shop where customers come in and look at our portfolios, and people will look through my portfolio right in front of me, not realizing
it's
me.
They'll be like this.
Well, yeah, they definitely just flip through it like they're a robot, not
saw
even
all the
looking
books
at
you got.
It. Yeah. Or they know what they're looking for, and they're just looking to find what they want in your book. And they're like, oh, yeah, he can do a feather. Oh, you do feathers a lot? And then they're surprised when you say that you've done a feather before.
Yeah. When you're like, well, you don't have any feathers in your book. You're like.
Yeah.
But they don't know that. I think because maybe of those shows or maybe people's Instagram, like they only see what is curated.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, he only does. Because like in my book, it's only trad stuff or Jap stuff. You know what I mean? Like there's no feathers or Pinterest this or that stuff. You know what I mean? Because like in my mind, I can do all that shit. But people need to see that to know that you could do it.
I was sure you couldn't do a feather because I've never seen you do it.
I mean, Indian head with feathers?
That doesn't count.
That's that thick feather, though. I want that thin feather.
No, but I don't want anything cartoony.
Right. So you want the tight 3-5 mag.
Yeah.
Tattoo.
I want it to blow in the wind.
I can do those.
Okay. Yeah.
With a thin deer skin like tie with some beads on it.
Yeah.
I can do that.
Okay.
You want black and gray or just like a hint of color, like some red in the bead maybe?
Does color cost more?
No.
Damn.
No, that would be racist.
Well, could my sister also get the same one and we'll just both split the minimum?
I'll just use the same needle for sure. Definitely.
Okay. Well, we're sisters, so it's no big deal.
Black Claw's new self-sterilizing needles.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Big news.
Just kidding. Don't do that.
Big news. Self-sterilizing. All you have to do is rinse them off.
In alcohol. Just do this.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as you dry it off with a clean, like a fresh paper towel.
Yeah, like this.
Good to go. Yeah, all my shirts have ink all under the arms.
Oh, shit. Spreading misinformation.
I've been known to do that.
Mm.
Let's touch briefly on the learning curve of tattooing now, how it's changed from... We were just saying during a break, because I feel like our best conversations are happening off the record. So I wish you could have all been here with us, but you'll have to just bear with it.
You're going to have to come get tattooed by me to learn the real secrets of tattooing.
That's right.
So if here's a chart of a learning curve. So like here's my career. Long and arduous. Long and arduous. Got that little plateau and then come up a little bit. And that's where I am now. So here's like tattooing with the internet. Woo!
You just jump right over
it. Just fucking.
You're just a hurdle.
I'm just a hurdle. Hurdle the turtle.
So do you think that provides more positive or more negative?
I think that really depends on if you're a positive or a negative person.
What are you?
I don't know. It depends on the day. Depends on if I had my protein in the morning or fucking sugar. You know, a lot of times I get caught up and I get a little sour grapes, you know, like, be like, fuck, I had to, like, work my ass off, you know, to get, you know, the business that I have. And now it's not that, like, the young guys have the same amount of business, but they didn't have to jump through the hurdles that me and my peers had to.
Because all the information is available.
All the information is available at your fucking fingertips, in your pocket.
Yeah.
Like, even when the internet started, it still wasn't like, shit's easy. You know what I mean? Like, you still, like, if you had ordered from National Tattoo Supply, you had to have an account. You could only have an account if you had a business license number to give to them, and they'd check on it. And they'd be like, all right, you're a legit business. We'll send you a fucking catalog now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's how you got stuff. Now,
COD.
Yeah, like, you can go on Tackier for sale and buy a fucking machine that, like, you probably shouldn't wield. You know what I mean? It's like giving a 10-year-old some nunchucks.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But,
I mean, they try to be discriminatory against people who shouldn't be there, but I'm sure it's easy to slip through the cracks.
Yeah, Alex does a good job of that. You know what I mean? But, like, you know, there could be proxy buyers.
Sure.
You know, you could have a guy in the shop like, yeah, I'll get you those machines. Who knows? It's like gun purchases in Delaware. You know what I mean?
But I guess that could be true in the past, too, and I'm sure that happened.
It sure did. Yeah, it's just on a
larger scale
as far as, like, relatively speaking, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. You know, and just books, for that matter. We're talking about libraries. Like, it took me decades to get all the books that I have, and I'm like, fuck that book. Like, they started reprinting it, and, like, you can get it from 7 different websites.
Yeah.
And Amazon. Mm-hmm. Like, and you can have it delivered the next day.
For free.
It's like, for free. Yeah. Like, fuck. Like, I had to go to, like, a Chinese bookstore in, like, the back alley of some place in fucking San Francisco and, like, look for it for hours, and then get in the bookstore and be like, look through books for hours and be like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember finding when you'd get a tip from someone if you were visiting a city or somewhere else, and they're like, yo, you got to check out this bookstore. They've got tons of Japanese reference or tons of whatever, and you go there and it's like, this crazy experience, and you can't buy enough books that day, and you come out and you got to figure out how to get them all home, and it's heavy as fuck trying to drag them all around for the rest of the day when you're trying to do other stuff.
But. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's, you know, like, in one way, yeah, it's a big shortcut, but, you know, if we boil down technology to its, like, root purpose, I mean, technology and technological advances in the world since the fucking Industrial Revolution has been one goal, and one goal only, is, like, to make human life easier. So basically that's what it does, and it's doing the job that technology does. It makes your life a little easier. You know what I mean? And, like, you or me, or me more than, you know, you, because you grew up with it, but, like, guys my age, they have to come to terms with that fact and be like, all
yeah,
right,
you have to adjust.
Fucking, yeah, and I utilize it to its advantage now. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to get that book tomorrow. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that.
Sure.
Do that. You know what I mean? But what we have that the younger generation doesn't have are those stories of, like, walking the back streets of Chinatown by ourselves and being like, fuck, this is crazy. I'm in a different city, and I'm walking around, and, like, I'm going to go eat lunch at this crazy place, have some beers, see a friend of mine that I didn't see, you know what I mean? And then go buy some sick books and then go get tattooed. Like, those are stories and a certain amount of lineage that the older guys have that the young guys maybe don't have, or maybe don't even want. Who knows? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know, like, if their ideal of, like, because tattooing is a lifestyle too. You know what I mean? Like, if you're in it and you're living it, like, all your friends are tattooers, or a lot of your friends are tattooers. I have tattooers or friends that are outside of tattooing. But, like, you just spend so much time with these motherfuckers. Like, we're bros now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, all your stories are based around that. You know what I mean? And all my stories of coming up and road trips to conventions and, like, missed flights and sleeping on buddies' couches and floors in Europe and taking trains and getting snowed out of airports and all that stuff, like, to me, that's super cool. And, like, that's the stuff that I'll hold dear that you might not get if you're just always on the tech and,
yeah,
you know,
Yeah, right. I'm sure there's a lot of younger tattooers who are missing out on all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because they don't need to travel. They
right.
They can have a huge audience online,
base.
Never having worked a convention or done a guest spot or been right. anywhere.
Never having done a...
Never even gotten a tattoo.
Never even done a Cherry Creek design with a fucking tight 3 and a 5 mag.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh no, I only do picture machine flash. Or I only do, you know, 14 round everything. Or,
yeah.
you know, I only do like realistic clocks exploding with wolves behind them. Whatever genre that
yeah.
is hot right now. Like, people become instant specialists.
Yeah.
Without learning to walk first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, last week we touched on that with Chad and Jason, and we talked to Chad a bit about the value of traveling versus just seeing it through your phone screen.
Right.
So I'm sure you can imagine he had plenty of opinions about that.
Yeah, that dude's traveled to, I think,
everywhere.
Almost 7 continents. I think Antarctica, he still holds it. He's still got to get there, but it costs like $40,000 just to go there. So
yeah.
I can see why he's not there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing too we could touch on is like...
But if you don't value that stuff, then I guess you're never going to feel like you missed out on anything.
True.
Like you value that. I certainly value that sort of thing. But if
right.
that's not... If you're not surrounded by anyone to tell you when you're younger that these are the experiences and these are what gonna make you more rich of a person and more, you know, everything, then you don't care.
Yeah. Exactly.
You think it's, oh, well, I can go on Google Earth and I can see what the street looks like and use this amazing technology.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
But it's not the same.
It wouldn't matter to most guys if they never had those experiences because, like you said, if there's nobody there to, like, see, like, if they weren't there seeing those guys come back with these crazy stories and be like, fuck, that sounds cool. I want to go do that.
Yeah.
Then what's the...
Yeah, I wasn't like that instinctually. I definitely learned it from people that were around
right.
me when I was starting the tattoo.
Well, hobos, man, there was like, still is a steady stream of guys that guest there on the regular.
Yeah.
And those guys are always going somewhere to and from, you know what I mean?
Yep.
I had to just to kind of keep business going because after 2008, man, the stock market took a shit and then, you know, blue collar tattooing kind of took a shit in my town. So I was like, I got to go and make money. So I traveled a lot in Europe and then I was like, this is kind of fucking cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's still stressful because you got to make X amount to bring back and give to Paul, Dick and Harry. But
yeah,
the stories are cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well,
is it game time?
We're going to play a game.
Playing a game.
Would you like to play a game?
Oh, I love games.
A little game I like to call hip or shit. I don't have a jingle yet. Now, the concept of this game, I've curated a collection of photographs of tattoos of varying qualities and content. And I would like for you, by seeing this tattoo, to decide, is it hip, meaning does it get a substantial amount of likes, probably over 1,000 or more? Mm-hmm. Or is it just shit? Is it just some person who tattooed their friend or themselves and they threw it up on their Instagram?
Hmm. Damn. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
So we're going to start. We're going to start with this right here.
Is there a difference?
And I ask you, Todd Noble,
is
it hip or shit? Walk me through your thought process.
I'd say it's hip. Only because of its imagery, but it's probably shit on how it was tattooed technically.
Well, that's probably true of all of these.
Hey! So let's go with shit, even though I like cigarettes.
Oh, you are right. It is shit. Only a modest 57 likes, which, depending who you are, that's probably okay.
That could be a lot.
But in what we're comparing.
People
okay,
gonna,
on to the next.
People are going to punch me and call me tatty shit.
Every word is nonsense.
I'm going to say that's hip, even though I think it's...
Ooh, 19 damn. Likes. 19 likes.
I'm going to say every word is nonsense, but I understand.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Well, see, we're getting a handle on the game now.
So, I figure if, you know... Go ahead.
Okay,
go ahead.
Let's do number 3. Let's talk about the placement of this.
I mean...
When people want lettering,
placement.
I always tell them to put it right on your knee.
Put it on the shittiest skin on your body, for
yeah.
sure. Don't
and do it small.
Because words tell lies. Co is cosplay. Don't believe a word. Especially if... This is shit, for sure. can't possibly hit.
1,429
likes. God, I just got fucking served.
Damn, this game's heating up.
I've got served.
Oh, wow. See, it can go either way. It can go either way.
He's probably like, I'm going to get this covered up anyway. So I just wanted to feel like what it felt like on my knee because I'm getting a knee done.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. Mm. For all you music fans out there, I'd sing a Grateful Dead song, but I don't know any.
Driving that train high on cocaine. But I have to see the three other photos that are with it. Look, see it?
Right. Other angles?
Other angles to really make it.
Maybe that was too much of a giveaway, so I needed
I'm
you
gonna
to.
I'm going
to
say shit.
29 yes! likes. Good. Bing, 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 bing.
Boom. Okay. Show me the money. Show me the money. No whammies.
Let's do like
big
two.
Bucks.
We'll
big
do
bucks.
About two more.
That is hip as shit.
And what would lead you to believe that?
Because her shirt is tucked in, she's got a high waistline, and it's right on her fucking forearm.
Yep. 1,658 likes.
Bitch ink worldwide.
Damn.
Smiley face emoji.
Okay. I'm going to find one that's not too obvious. Okay, this is a good one. I tested this game at the shop with the guys, and this one was controversial. There's a lot to unpack here.
95K. Which are we talking about the fresh tat, right? Not the bag of money.
That's up for you to decide.
Or the that's a PlayStation. That's his flame.
Yeah.
Fuck. As much as I want to say hip, it can't be hip because of the tattoo quality of the other tattoos.
This is a home job.
Yeah. Oh, as opposed to the other one. Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm just, I don't know. I'm just saying it would appear to be.
I'm just trying to figure out what that actually is. Is that like a...
Let me tell you what I think.
Is that the
it
basement
is.
Of Pizzagate? Fucking...
That's, yeah, it could be. So
with
we've
the
got...
disco ball?
We've got a PlayStation logo.
The P stands for Pizzagate. The black tier is for all the molested children from Pizzagate. And the money is the...
What do the knuckles say? It looks like 95, which 95K. Is probably a birth... I would think that they were born in 95.
Okay, right, right, right.
And so to them, a PlayStation, the original PlayStation logo, that's like
vintage. Right.
So this is someone who might collect records.
We're going to go hip. Hipster.
1,701 likes.
In your face.
Yep.
That is so many likes. It's insane.
Well.
So many likes. So did I win? Did I win?
Okay, let's do
did
one more.
5 out of 6?
Let's do one
Four
more.
Out of six.
This is a good one. Yeah. This Ooh. Is our last one. This is the lightning round. And winner takes all.
Shit.
Walk me through it.
I'm right off the bat, it reminds me of my Dungeons and Dragons days. Eye of the Beholder. He's like this kind of head with a big eye, and he had like little snake things with little eyes. That's the imagery that's it's conjuring for me. Or it could be Medusa, you know, or...
Like a tribal Medusa that's not filled in yet?
Right, or, yeah, some big swollen penis heads that are around it. I'm going to say shit. I'm going to say shit, though.
The thing that I look at is the photo quality. If it's beautifully filtered or framed in a certain way, you can kind of tell, like the little heart on the arm. You could tell by the clothes of the person mm-hmm. that was yeah. a person who was hip
yeah.
and conscious of what's going
on in
the world.
$500 for that pokey heart.
Right. This one.
It's got saran wrap.
It looks like shit. It's got weird, droopy saran wrap.
Yeah.
It's probably been on an...
That's not Tegaderm.
No, no. And it's all flash burned and stuff, so it's pretty obvious that this... Oh! 1,231!
Autochrist strikes again. I gotta start following that person. Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Autochrist?
Yeah. I think I've found...
Where is it from?
And someone commented,
it's from
my ass. And I think they were talking shit. Where is it from?
Fuck
your
my ass.
Ass.
That's amazing. Dude. That's a good game.
Okay,
oh,
that was fun.
Game.
That was a good time.
That was great times. Great right. times.
Well, I think that's maybe we can't top that.
We can't. We can't top that.
Is there anything else you want to explore before we call it quits for the day?
Although,
hopefully we'll have you back on sometime because I think that there's probably hours and hours more of things that we could discuss.
Lots of stuff. Lots of stuff locked into my brain.
Right. And I don't know how long I can even do a podcast just about social media and tattooing, because really, I feel like a lot of the people that I'm going to have as guests, we're all going to share the same opinion.
Yeah, I think you'll have tangents relative.
Everyone's
like,
personal experiences,
sure.
I think, are what going to
exactly.
give the color to
that's,
it. That's what I'm interested
that's
in.
That's what you want, for sure, like yeah. the experience of people.
But I
want
to get Autochrist on here.
Get him on.
Anyone.
Do you think it's a person? Or do you think it's somebody that's collected tatties from the interwebs and created...
Oh, that's a person.
This, it is a person.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yep.
Where do they work?
Not sure.
Oh, okay. There you go.
You would never know. We would never know.
Well, oh my God. Sick. Cool.
Thanks
good
for
times.
Doing this. I appreciate it.
Of course.
This was really fun. We've been meaning to do it for a while. We've had a couple hard-hitting phone conversations that I think were
hard-hitting
have blossomed into this. When I made my Everence video and you called me the next day and said, "Thanks for not making a hate video." You sounded like a defeated man. I mean, that was like the peak of bullshit.
Yeah, it was a peak. Yeah,
it was a rough day for you.
Well, the worst part about it was like my son's birthday that day, and I was feeling all that shit like when I should have been hanging out with him.
Yeah.
You know, and I was trying to do both, and I was like, fuck.
Did you feel regret in that moment? Did you feel that maybe you called it wrong?
No, not at all. Like, and that's the thing too, is like I still don't, you know, like I have personal issues, you know, with the situation, but like to me, like nobody was at the meeting that we were at. You know what I mean? So nobody's gonna get the gist of it that we got. You know what I mean? And to presume that we all just like fucking handed over tattooing to some multinational conglomerate company, you know,
with ties to
without
big
any
pharma.
Regards to what it's going to do to our tattooing history,
yeah,
is absurd. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't take what I've built in this industry lightly. You know what I mean? And I call it an industry because it is an industry. If you look, you know, if you do statistical numbers, if you check out like how much money supply companies makes, you know, and what supply companies got bought out for, you know, and now are owned by mutual fund companies. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, it's insane how much money is made in the tattooing industry.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
and it should be no surprise to anyone if each of us are able to make a living and to support our families just off of our own tattooing, not even a shop owner, but just a guy who tattoos. And it should be no surprise that these larger businesses are raking it in.
Yeah.
Because there's just a lot of money coming around. It's a real business, and we can't act like it's not anymore.
Exactly. You know, you can hide in this hole and like believe it was like the 80s, but dude, even in the 80s and 90s, there were supply companies that were fucking killing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they're still around today. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Yeah, they've got generations of their family that are still living off of their riches in some cases.
Right, that have nothing to do with tattooing.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm still tattooing every day, you know, and if I'm not tattooing every day, I'm thinking about it. You know what I mean? So I haven't, like, cashed a check and moved to fucking Indonesia and surf every day. Like,
yeah.
I would like to.
Yeah, well, next summer. There's
next
always
summer.
Next summer.
Always next summer.
Yeah, it's over. Yeah.
Endless summer, dude. That's my goal.
Yeah. Shaka bra. Well, if people want to check out your work, where can they find you on the internet?
At Noble1 Instagram.
Do you tweet?
I have a Twitter, but I don't tweet.
Me either.
Yeah, I figure Trump's good at that. Let him Twitter. I just never understood the interface of Twitter, and I don't feel like it's a good place for the visual art forms.
I don't have anything to say, although
yeah,
I have a podcast now, so maybe I do. But it doesn't translate to Twitter.
No, it doesn't, because Twitter's like, it limits your words, so you got to like be a poet, basically.
Yeah. Also, you make some pretty great books. We talked about your sketchbooks of yesteryear.
I try to give back, you know?
Yeah.
I try.
So are people still able to purchase those books?
People still are. They can go onto my website, www.rightcoasttattooing.com. I have a store on there. You can get merch, t-shirts, books. Not closed.
Oh shit. Okay, we're back.
Books are not closed on my website. They're open, and they remain to be open.
That's good to know.
And I'm thinking about doing digital downloads for all you techies out there.
Good. So I can trace all your shit easier.
You can trace it and screenshot it and send it to all your friends for free. No, don't do that. So, yeah.
Cool. Yes, I recommend you all to go check that out. The books are good. Great reference. I see people very often tattooing that stuff and tagging you in it. So you can sell it. You'll make your money back on one tattoo. So
that's right.
If you don't have a book collection or a personal library, then what are you waiting for? The time
there.
Is now.
Get after it.
I thank you all for joining us. This was another very interesting conversation touching on hard-hitting topics. We're really getting down and dirty in the mud.
In the gutter of tattooing.
A huge thank you goes out to our sponsors this week, Lucky Supply and River Valley Printing Co., and to our guest, Todd Noble. Again, you can follow him on Instagram at Noble1. I'm Andrew Stortz. You can follow me on Instagram at Andrew Stortz. If you like this podcast, please consider giving a rating and or a review. It's been great to hear from a bunch of you after the first episode came out. A lot of cool feedback and nice words, so thank you to everyone who reached out. Keep it coming. I'd love to hear from you. I'd like to leave you all with but one bit of wisdom for the week. Give a man a fish, and he eats that day. Teach a man to tat, and he complains forever. See you next time.